asking that God would come today and make this a special day as we're here thinking and celebrating the Bible together. Okay, guys.
Father, Lord, I thank you for today and every other Sunday, Lord, that you've came here and put a burning fire in our hearts, Lord, so we can praise you. Lord, I pray that before we go to bed, we'll pray. And when we wake up, we'll just have a short prayer about you. Because you're the answer to everything in life. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, amen. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Lord, please help those people who are poor and have diseases, who are sick. Lord, help us to praise you more, Lord, so we can thank you for waking us up this morning and not letting us slip away from life. Amen.
Would you like to grab a seat, please? Sandra's going to give us encouragement this morning.
Well, when I woke up this morning, my soul was saying, Why are you so sad, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Why are you so sad, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Amen.
Fantastic. Sandra, thanks. That psalm that Sandra read is, for me, it's a wonderful, wonderful passage in the Bible. Just being real and honest about sometimes we just feel down for whatever reason. But we've got the choice to put our hope in God, praise him, love him, draw close to him. Let's stand together and let's do that this morning. Let's celebrate and draw close to God.
If you'd like to sit down. Fantastic. I think there's some people who haven't been before who are here. So my name's Jo, and I help with the children's work here. And we're going to do a little bit with the children this morning. But first, just to say our theme, I don't know if everybody caught that at the beginning, is the Bible this morning. So we're looking at the Bible. And Paul just asked me if I'd tell this little story of something that happened 2 weeks ago to me to do with the Bible. I went to the baptisms 2 weeks ago. Some people were baptized at a Baptist church, very appropriate place to be baptized. And I took my phone with me. When I came out, when I got back home, I realized no phone. I hadn't got my phone. I've never lost my phone before. I've been very careful with it. That's my phone. Let me show it to you. I was given it 2 years ago. Very pleased with it. Never had a mobile before. Very exciting for me. So I left my phone behind. And we couldn't find it anywhere. So that night, Nick, who's very devoted, my husband, rang Jules, the pastor, right, and said, Jo's left her phone at the church. And Jules, bless his dear heart, went back that night to look for my phone. And I thought, he's going to think I'm obsessed with my phone, that he would have to go back and do this. Anyway, he went back and looked for it, couldn't find it anywhere. So the next day, I prayed about it. I suddenly thought I could pray about this. So I started to pray about my phone, and I felt very challenged about my phone, because in the morning, on Sunday morning, Anita here, Peter's mum, had talked to me about the phone, and she said, you should get the Bible onto your phone. And I said, oh, no, 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 no. The Bible is a book that I read. It's not on a phone. I don't get this thing of people wandering around reading the Bible on their phones. To me, I just think it's not even really the Bible. And so I thought, I think my attitude's wrong here. And so I really prayed and I said, Lord, if you could find me my phone, I'll download the Bible. Martika, I'll download the Bible onto my phone. And lo and behold, Nick said, I'm going over to the Baptist church to have a look again for your phone. And when they got there, they noticed a Bible on the chair, one of the chairs, and it looked like it had got something in it. And there inside the Bible was my phone. And so Nick threw his arms around Pastor Jules, hugged him and said, praise the Lord. And Jules said, it was hidden in the Word, he said, as a true preacher. And so now I've downloaded, thanks to Anita's encouragement, because Anita said to me, your phone could be a spiritual tool, she said, if you could just get the Bible onto it. So now I've got the Bible. In fact, my little thing, my little icon, I don't know if it's an app or what it is, but it looks like a Bible, my little app or whatever it is. And so I'm going to read you. It gives me a verse for the day. And just listen to this, okay? This is fascinating. It's February the 8th today. Okay, and this is the verse for today, if I can find it. Here it is. It says, for the word of God. Oh, no, we've gone on to Hebrews. Whoa, how do I find the verse for the day? The verse was... Oh, here it is. It's come back. Here we go. It's very difficult. There, the word of God is alive, it says, and powerful. It's from Hebrews 4, verse 12. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and our desires. So it's all about the Bible. That was the verse for today. So there you go. That's my story. Now, what are we going to do? Ah, the children have been learning in Flame. They've been learning a memory verse. There's the memory verse. We've been learning this in Flame. And I promised the kids today that if they had said it, they would get prizes. So we're going to give out some prizes. It's going to turn into a prize giving now. But I just wondered if any of them would like in a moment to come up and say it. What it's about is it's talking about why Jesus came to earth. And we've been looking at why did Jesus come to earth. And the first reason was that he came to die on the cross for our sins. But he also came to show us what God was like. Because as this verse says, no one has ever seen God, but his son has. So the children have been learning this. Somebody said to me what translation this is. It's the new Living Translation, I think, because it's slightly unusual. And in a moment, when they get their prizes, they're going to get, let me show it to you, one of these fantastic, these are just so beautiful, Bible bookmarks. And we thought, I'm going to drop it, we thought we might give those out to one or two adults in a moment if they think they can say the verse. So, would any of the children, is anybody brave enough to come up and say it, or do they want to bring a friend? Oh, whoa, look at this, do you want to come up then? And then we'll give out some prizes. And where's Monica? Monica, could you just grab the box? Oh, you have to see our prize box. Let me just show you this. It's so magnificent. Hey, look at that. Magnificent prize box. In there are some prizes. Who thinks they could say it by themselves? You're not allowed to look at that. You've got to look out at the people. Edward, do you reckon you could? Edward's already said it this morning. Look at this face. Okay, here we go. You ready? It's got to be really good, Edward, yeah?
Okay, off we go. No one has actually seen God, but of course his only son has, for he is the companion of the Father and has told us all about him. John chapter 1 verse 18.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Incredible speed as well. Joe, do you want to have a go?
No one has actually seen God, but of course his only son has, for he is the companion of the Father and has told us all about him. John chapter 1 verse 18.
Unbelievable. That was amazing. That was top speed, okay. That was incredible from those two, because these guys are actually quite young. Joe, how old are you? Six. How old are you?
Five.
They're five and six, and they can say off by heart. Could we have a slow version, maybe, from Joel and Jonathan? Should we let these guys do it? Okay, can you do it together? Slow, okay?
No.
Okay. Okay, not that slow. Kind of medium, all right.
No one has actually seen God, but of course his only son has, for he is the companion of the Father and has told us all about him. John chapter 1 verse 18.
Brilliant. Who's left? George.
No one has actually seen God, but of course his only son has, for he is the companion of the Father and has told us all about him. John chapter 1 verse 18.
Magnificent, the girls. Joe, do you want to come?
God, but of course his only son has, for he is the companion of the Father and has told us all about him. John chapter 1, verses 18.
No one has ever actually seen God, but of course his only son has, for he is the companion of the Father and has told us all about him. John chapter 1 verse 18.
right, quick challenge for the adults then. Is there an adult who thinks they could come and say it word perfect? Probably a parent. You're not an adult, John. Any adult think they could have learned it off by heart? Anyone prepared to have a go for one of my lovely Bible bookmarks? I think a joint effort. Joint. Okay, Sabrina's going to do it with Michelle. There's two, actually, two of these bookmarks to give away. Oh, they've taken it away. But then we won't know if it's right or not. Oh, it's back. It's back. No peeping.
No, but he's not going to help us. You.
Can you help us, everyone?
No.
Okay. No one has actually seen the Father.
Wait.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah?
God. Only his son has. Yeah. For...
He's the companion.
Of the... Hold on, wait. Of
Father.
The Father.
John chapter 1, verse 18.
I mean, that really wasn't very good, but we'll give you these in the hope that you'll improve. Yeah. Right, if the guys sit down quick, we're going to give out the prizes. So, Kelechi, first of all, is Kelechi here? Nope, we'll keep his. Anna, you get a prize. Anna, there's your prize if you come up for it. Well done. Olivia, is Olivia here? Oh, no, she's not. We'll keep hers. Eliza. Jonathan. Where's Jonathan? Now, Jonathan gets highly commended as well because he was one of the most fluent. So he gets an extra, yeah, he gets extreme chew-its as his bonus. George. Where's George? Word perfect, George was. Joseph. Well done. That was so good. Georgina. Is Georgina here? Yes, good person. Well done. Joe Rogers as well gets highly commended and a prize. He gets extreme chew-its. Spencer, I don't know if Spencer and Matthew are here. I think they might not be. No. Edwards. Magnificent. Joanna, where's Joanna? Joanna Haruna. Well done. Some of these said it quietly in private, but they have all said it. And finally, for sheer enthusiasm, in fact, we had to stop this boy saying the verse in the end. We had to ban him last week from saying the verse in flame because he kept saying it so many times. It's Joel Haruna. He gets extra prizes for enthusiasm. He said it so many times to me. Oh, and he gets another one of those as well. He gets another Tango Rocks or something. I'm sure they're dreadful, but, you know. Right. We thought if you're a sunbeam and you might like some little sweets, you're welcome to come. We've got some little sweets for you. You don't have to say a Bible verse. You can come up with your parents and get some little sweets for any sunbeams. Brilliant. Right. We're going to put up our Bible challenge for Flame, which is... That's it. There we go. So, our challenge this term... was for if you're year five or above. Can you put your hand up if you're year five or above? Obviously not the adults. year five and above, superb. Oh, Ezekiel as well. That the challenge was to read John's Gospel, the whole of John's Gospel by Easter, which is quite, it's quite a big gospel. It's not like Mark where you can race through it. This is a big one. So that was the challenge. And for some of the younger ones to read some of the stories. So Anna and Louise have been reading John's Gospel. They're on their way through it, and they're going to come and say how it's been, how they found reading John's Gospel.
Me and my mum are reading the book of John. Every evening I read one section at a time from my children's Bible. Then we talk about what I have read, and my mum explains what it means. When I go to bed, I pray about the section I read. I think this is good because I'm learning more about Jesus and his disciples.
Well, I have to just say that we didn't know the challenge was to read John by Easter. I fear we may not make that. I know, but some of the sections are quite small. When Anna was younger, we used to, in the evening we have a story time, and we used to always read, you know, from a story Bible, and that was really good. But then we got to an age where that didn't seem quite so... that wasn't really appropriate. But it was really hard to know what to do next. So last year when you in Flame, they were finding out about Moses. Yeah, Moses. Did you do Moses? Yes, we did Moses. We started reading them. We started reading a section at a time, Anna, from her children's Bible. And so we found it really helpful. We're really grateful to Joe and Flame that that there is a part of the Bible they're reading, because that then at home, it means we can share that together and we feel like we're all part of the same thing together. It's been really good for me reading it. And then Anna's asked questions and I've got to think, you know, it's really challenged me. What do I think this means? What do I believe? I've really enjoyed it. I really valued this time. So thank you. Thank you to Flame. Thank you to Joe for setting us these challenges. And yeah, it's a good time. I recommend it.
Wow, fantastic. So that's the challenge for everybody, for the families. We're going to sing you a couple of songs. We're going to... I think we might want you up on your feet to help us. But could Flame come up? We're going to do, if you think you're standing firm, we're going to sing two golden oldies. And the reason we're doing this is because they're straight from the Bible. They're both pure Bible verses. The first one is, if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall, which I think is from Corinthians. And then, oh, we got slides for this, actually. Could we put, there, that's the one. So that's the first one. If you think you're standing firm, good verses, actually. Be careful you don't fall. And then the other one is, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Yeah, fantastic. We're going to, could you stand and support us? You could clap, you could join in the actions. So basically it says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful, and you freeze. Then it says, be careful you, and you point at someone. You don't have to do the actions, but obviously some adults quite like actions. Then it's, be careful you don't, and you do an X for the don't. And then fall, you fall down, which obviously you don't have to completely do, but you're welcome to join us. So we're gonna try and do this. Yeah? Brilliant.
We're celebrating it together, and so the children are staying in, because it's a shorter time that we're having together today as we're enjoying. Joe, you've lost your phone already. I've got it here. It's in the Bible. No, it's not. It's on the lectern. It's really exciting, actually, just to celebrate together this wonderful word. And before we continue, just a couple of things I wanted to mention. First, just a reminder, we're praying on Tuesday, 7:30. Second, that we've got some amazing hot dogs for sale today after the meeting, and some sausages. And Joe's going to come and tell us about something that's launching this week, coinciding with the hot dogs. What's the theme, Joe?
The next theme. The next theme is our kids' camp, Carroty Wood. We're launching it today, okay? Can we put up the thing? The picture? There's a picture of the fire. For those who don't know, Carroty Wood is our children's camp that we have every year, children and youth camp, and we've done it every year for about 25 years, and we're going off to Kent at the end of June. We've got the leaflets finally out today. I've had a lot of people phoning me saying, when are the leaflets coming? We've been slightly slow, but anyway, we've got them out today. I've got them at the back. So it's for kids from 7 to 16. We all go down into the woods of Kent, and we have just the most wonderful time down there, having fantastic fun together and being together, but also really meeting with God down there together. So very excited. We've got a little movie, a short movie that we did 2 years ago, which I think we've got time to quickly play you. It's about 3 or 4 minutes long. And what you'll notice actually is how much the children have shot up. There's various teenagers that just look completely different now. This is Jan's one. Okay, no, we haven't seen this before. I haven't seen this. Wow, who made that film? Was that Matthew's film? No, we don't know. Matthew didn't make it. I didn't make it. Jan didn't make it. Somebody made a fantastic film there. That was Carroty Wood. That is Carroty Wood. I've got the forms. If you're between 7 and 16, you're so welcome to come. If you're in year 11 or 12, we would love it if you could come as young leaders this year. We badly need some energetic, youthful leaders. So we'd love it if you guys could come and do that. We've also got sponsorship forms. Lots of people in the church have sponsored children and young people to go, which has so opened up the camp to all sorts of children who wouldn't otherwise be able to come. So if you'd like to sponsor a child, do come and see me. I've got leaflets about that. And also for families, if you need help coming, please come and talk to me so that we can arrange that. So at the end of the meeting, Ed and Laura, who I think are already cooking, are they? Yes, they're already out there. They've been banished outside the hall because otherwise the smell from the sausages sort of wafts across and it's very distracting. So, but they're cooking out there, these wonderful sausages, and all the money that we raised today, all of this is just going to that camp. So yeah, that's Carity Woods, yeah? And we're going to show another movie during the hot dog time at the end of the meeting, or two more little movies, I think.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Well, as I said today, it's a celebration of the Bible, and what an amazing book the Bible is. What a fantastic, incredible book, like no other. The Bible, of course, is the number one best-selling book in the world. 5,000 million copies of the Bible have been sold over the past few decades, and many, many, many given away, of course, to people. It's by far the best-selling book of all time. But it's not because of that reason that we're celebrating it today. We're celebrating, of course, because it's of who it's written by. And although ostensibly it was written by about 40 people over a period of about 1,600 years, actually, of course, they were inspired, they were used by God to write down the very words of God. And so today, we just want to show you a short video clip of a lady called, a right American lady, who's asked the question, why read the Bible? What is it about reading the Bible that's important? James, can you hit the lights? Phil, can we have the video, please?
I've heard multiple times, what if the Bible isn't true? And what if what you're saying isn't true because the Bible isn't real? And you know, there are all the facts we can tell them, right? We can tell them all the historical finds of the Bible and how many more there are than any other historical book. But the truth is that when you sit down and read the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to show you and ask God to reveal to you what's real in the Word and how real it is, He does. And so that's what I say to them. I'll say, okay, you don't believe it? That's fine. Go home and read it and then let me know. Because you can say you don't believe this book because you think it's full of rules and you think it's full of things that are going to ruin your fun, or you think it's full of things that are going to break your heart. Really, go home and read it and watch it rescue you and watch it save you and watch it bring you life, and you won't have that question again.
Fantastic. What a good introduction. I've asked three people if they would share with us. Thanks, James. Put the lights back on, please. That's the why of read the Bible. Today we're going to look at just how to read the Bible. Now, obviously, there's loads of different ways. And so today's inspirational in just three different ways that we can read the Bible. Lots of different ways. So I'm going to ask first Bethany and then Matthew, and then Gunnel's going to come and share. So first of all, give Bethany a warm round of applause, please. Bethany, come on down.
I probably started the reading the Bible properly when I was about 11. I had one of the teen Bibles, and then my parents had brought me some of the kids' Bible reading notes, and I gradually worked through that as I was doing it. I think that was when I first realized that there was more to Christianity than just the stories of like Noah, Joseph, and then all of Jesus' life. So when I was about 13, I'd started secondary school. I remember one of my friends came up to me, and they knew I was a Christian, and they asked me, have I read the whole Bible? And I hated the fact that I had to say no. So I then decided that I was going to read the entire Bible in a year. So if anybody ever asked me, I could say yes next time. So I started with the New Testament at someone's recommendation, which I found really helpful once I started to get to the Old Testament later on. Personally, for me, the Old Testament was far harder to read because suddenly there are all these stories about God wiping out entire nations, which I think if you hadn't read the New Testament first, could really challenge your faith in this idea of an all-loving God, but there's all this suffering happening while he's supposed to be in control. So reading the Old Testament through the New, reading the Old Testament through the light of the New Testament helped me to really appreciate and better understand the true meaning of Jesus' death and the closeness we are now able to have with God through his Holy Spirit. So the idea that even though through all the suffering of the Old Testament, God is able to turn everything for good, as if you think about it, the worst ever event in history is the death of God's Son, but somehow today it's the most celebrated event of like our entire faith. So he was able to turn the worst event into the best one. As you can probably guess, I didn't manage the whole Bible in a year. It got to the point where I was like plowing through it and reading as fast as I possibly could, simply because I just wanted to cover ground and get it done so that I could say yes the next time someone asked me had I read it and they'd think I was a really good Christian. So as I was plowing through, most of the time I couldn't even remember what I'd read or even understand what I was reading. I would read whole sections, look over it the next day, and couldn't even remember if I'd read it or not, so I got really confused with where I was at. It even got to the point that while I was praying before I'd read the Bible that God would speak to me, I was secretly hoping that I wouldn't hear any words from God so that it wouldn't slow me down and I could get through it quickly. So I wasn't enjoying reading the Bible or benefiting from it in any way. I used to do the same thing with praying, but every night before I went to bed, I'd have like this long list of things I'd pray for. So it started off with friends and family and school, and then it would go on to criminals and homeless people and everyone who was suffering in the world. So quite often I fell asleep before I got to the end of the list and then woke up feeling really guilty. So during the evening, I would dread the time I felt I had to spend praying and reading the Bible, as both acts felt like such a chore to do and something that just took up time when I'd rather be like watching TV or talking to my friends or something. I think that once it got to the stage where I was dreading reading the Bible and praying each day, I realized I was definitely doing something wrong. As frequently, I heard people saying how like amazing the Bible was and how it'd spoken to them and really helped them through various situations. It was just something that I really couldn't relate to because I just didn't find anything special in this book that I thought I had to read. So quite quickly, I gave up on the goal of a Bible in a year. And instead, I changed it to a reading, whatever amount I felt like I should read that day. This really improved my enjoyment of the Bible and reading it. I actually started to get more from what I was reading. To an extent, I think you do still have to be disciplined in what you're reading. So, like, I make sure I read at least something every day, but the amount shouldn't matter, as long as reading the Bible becomes a pleasure and not a chore that you dread to do. Currently, I aim to read about a chapter an evening before I go to bed, but sometimes it's more, sometimes less. And then sometimes I read a bit before school, but this is only usually a verse or two to start the day off. I'm gradually working my way through the Bible, but I now find I'm getting a lot more from it. Like Joe, I read my Bible on my iPod. I find it really helpful, but because you can always highlight and bookmark your favorite verses, so that when I'm stressed about something like an exams or race that I've got coming up, I find I spend some time rereading those verses, and then eventually you get to know them so that when you're stressed and you don't have your Bible, you can just recall them and think through them. I find that really gives you a sense of peace and calm and knowing that God is with you in every situation. My favorite verse at the minute is John 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will experience suffering, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I recently read the book Rebecca's Way, which was given out after her memorial a couple of weeks ago. And there was this one quote that she had written that was put in from her journal that just really hit me. And she wrote, "When my friends meet me, I want them to meet Jesus." And this was something that it said she used to pray every single day in the hope that she would be able to bring Christianity and the love of God to the people around her. And I think, in a way, this really relates to reading the Bible, because as you know more and more about God, when non-Christians ask you about their faith, they'll be able to see the passion, your passion for God, through how much you spend, through how much you know about him and how much you want to talk about him. With my friends, if any of them has ever watched a film or something, or a really great TV program, they're just like talking about it all the time, I'd say give it about 2 or 3 days and the rest of us will have researched it or asked someone questions about it to try and find out more. I think it's the same with the Bible. The more you show you have passion for this book, the more your friends and people around you will be interested in finding out more about it and more curious to see your opinion on it and what it's all really about. So I now try to read the Bible in the hope that God will talk to me through every word. Sometimes I find something really encouraging, or sometimes I get nothing from it at all. For me, this has really transformed my experience of the Bible. It's no longer an old history book, but instead something that I think can really relate and encourage us in everything we do. There are still some times when I don't feel I've got anything from what I'm reading, or I find it confusing, or I wake up in the morning, my iPod is still turned on with the chapter open that I fell asleep with and never got round to reading. Certain books such as Numbers and other ones in the Old Testament, where there are only one or two verses in the book that I could relate to, I found really hard to read and really challenging. I think I still do find parts of it boring and difficult to understand, but I think if you just keep remembering that all of it is relevant, every single word God has chosen to be in there for a reason, every word has a meaning and a purpose for it to be in there. However, the verses and chapters that do speak to me have definitely helped me to have a better understanding of what God is like, especially in times when I'm upset, stressed, or worried. I find that reading the Bible and revisiting the verses that I already bookmarked do help as a comfort and motivation to living in a Christian life.
Thank you so much, Bethany. I think that I can really relate to so much Bethany has said today. I too face these struggles of finding the best way to read the Bible for me. And Bethany has pointed out two main ways that she finds helpful to read the Bible. And I too have found these ways helpful, but depending on how much time I have. I've given these two method names. The first I call the short and sweet method. This is perfect for when I wake up late and I only have a short time available. Currently, I'm reading through the Bible from the beginning and have used this method often. Firstly, before I begin, I ask God to speak through the Bible. Then, I read a small passage and see if anything stands out to me. Sometimes something clearly stands out, but other times I just get a faint sense that God is speaking through that. Often I find that when something stands out, it's because the Holy Spirit wants to speak to me through it. Thirdly, if I read a verse and it stands out, I read it again. Then I tell God what I thought it meant, and then I also ask him why it stood out to me. Sometimes I feel God says nothing, and so just like Bethany, I thank him and I ask him to help me in my day. And other times I feel really clearly God is saying something. Often something, to change me or to challenge me or to encourage me. So I pray about those things, and sometimes I write them down. For me, the short and sweet method is a great way to refresh me and to focus my heart on God for the day, even if I don't have much time. However, it doesn't give me much time to spend time with God or to give him a chance to speak much. So I prefer to use my second method, which I call the power and perseverance method. It starts the same way as the short and sweet method. I ask God to speak before I begin. I then spend more time reading than my other method. My different stories in the Bible are divided up by little headings, so I try to read from one heading to the next, and as Bethany, sometimes I read more, sometimes I read less. I then reread the parts of a passage that stood out to me when I read. I ask God what it means. Then I wait. I often listen to some Christian music while I wait, and this helps me to concentrate on God. I think God has spoken to me most powerfully when I've waited on him in this way. And I'm reminded of a verse in the Bible where it says, "As we draw near to God, he will draw near to us." The main point I feel to share with you today is the importance of making a regular appointment to read the Bible and sticking to it. It doesn't have to be hours, but as Henry Drummond said, 10 minutes spent in the presence of Christ every day, 2 minutes will make the whole day different. And so I really want to encourage you today to try different ways of reading the Bible and to find a way that helps you to connect with God. Thank you.
My, oh my. And they are quite young as well. I'm going to share my morning shower with you. It ought to be 6 o'clock. I wake up, I open my eyes, I do not put my feet on the floor. Instead, I start to call out to God first thing, in holy desperation, in holy fear of him, in incredible love for him, I pull down nuggets from the Bible all over, and I shower myself with those nuggets as I lie there. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, it's in the third person, isn't it? So the verses I use, and although I've heard a whole sermon on this, that when we pray our and we, it's still intimate. I am included in that, as if it was just I in the midst of it, we and our and us. I take the liberty to change the verses to the I in the morning shower. So it sort of, to me, feels incredibly intimate. I start by confessing that I need God for everything, that I can do nothing without him. I declare complete dependency on him, and I tell him about the Bible. I tell him that I'm prepared to believe every word in the Bible. I may not understand it all, as we've heard here, but I'm prepared to believe, and I look forward to revelations from the Bible by degree. Just by degree, it never ends, revelations of his word. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path. It's so wonderful. That's from Psalms 119. You've heard this before. So with this as a starting point, I can proclaim victory in the name of Jesus. Victory over the days. Yes, I'm going out in 4 foot of snow. I'm going to dig my car out. I'm going to drive in my job on slippery roads. You know, I don't have the comforts around me in Sweden at the moment when I go out to love on the old people that I work with. And somehow I feel that I can get the same desperation up for God's support and protection as if I'm in the middle of Africa without a hospital or a dentist or something. And I think it's that desperation that I'm looking for, whether it's snowing or whether the roads are clear or not, that wonderful desperation for him. So if you want to, you could close your eyes and I'll give you my shower to come into your life and come into your heart this morning. So this is how I do it. Not written in stone because it might vary, but on the whole it's like this. Thank you, wonderful Daddy. This is the day that you have made and I will rejoice and be glad. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. I enter your gates with thanksgiving. Thank you for saving me, Lord, for everlasting life through the cross, for eternity with you in heaven. Thank you that I am a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I have been set free from sin and I'm a slave to righteousness. Today is the day of salvation. You want all people to be saved. Therefore, I place those on my prayer list before you, Lord. Lisa, Gareth, Rickard, Anne-Louise, Anne, Eva-Lotta, etc. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. My children and grandchildren will be your disciples, and their peace shall be great. Thank you for your peace, Lord. Not the kind of peace that the world offers, but your peace that surpasses all understanding. For you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And no weapon forged against me shall prosper. Thank you, Lord, that you are my doctor. For you are the Lord that heals me. And by your stripes I am healed. I claim all your promises. I take it on to myself in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are my good shepherd and you provide my daily bread. Your name covers all my needs. Show me, Lord, who I can bless today and go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Help me, Lord, to be a cheerful giver at all times. Help me, Lord, to show love and compassion. Point out specific people that you want me to bless today, Lord. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Help me, Lord, to live in forgiveness day by day. Search me, O Lord, know my heart and test my thoughts. See if there is anything in me that saddens you. Convict me and change me, Lord, and lead me on the path of everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, that your grace is new every day. Thank you, Lord, that I can do all things through you who gives me strength. Amen.
Thank you. Fantastic. As we finish this morning, let's stand together, please, as we finish our time. It's been amazing to hear some practical nuggets encouraging us in terms of reading the Bible. And I'm sure you too, I feel stirred in terms of my reading of the Bible. I'm going to pray that God would help us, because it's so important. It's not a religious thing, it's not an ought thing, but it is something that God does in my heart, God does in your heart, that draws us again and again and again, day after day, in this pattern of coming to the Bible and freshly receiving what God wants to say. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've given us, that you've spoken, and Lord, the things that you've said have been written down for us. We thank you for this amazing, life-changing book, this living book that has power in it to change our lives. And Father, I ask today for every single person, from the youngest child right through all the ages, Lord, that you would do something in my heart, in our hearts, that would cause us to want to read your word. Lord, draw us back again and again to the treasures there are in your word. Give us understanding. We pray, Holy Spirit, would you work in our hearts, even today, even tomorrow, tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, when we're reading the Bible, would you come afresh? Would you speak into our hearts in a fresh and living way? I pray, Lord, that you'd remove every obstacle that would stop us reading the Bible. Every bit of laziness, every bit of apathy, every bit of religiosity, everything out of the way, that we could come freshly to this living book and be changed and receive life from you. Father, would you work in every heart? I pray we'd be a people of the Bible. A people that would love the Bible, a people that would be filled with the Bible, a people that would know you through this amazing book. And so I'm asking, Lord, would you begin, would you refresh, would you take us on this journey of knowing more and more and more of you through this book? Lord, do a powerful thing in our hearts this morning. Every single one of us, Lord, would you touch us, would you change us? In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I wonder if you turn around to the person behind you, greet them, say, hi, how are you doing? My name is, say who you are. We've got some hot dogs in just a couple of minutes.